Hello everyone and welcome back to Phone Show Chat. This is show 888, Three Fat Ladies. Actually, we're not three fat ladies, but we're rotund gentlemen, probably. Steve Nutt is joining us this week, and Joe is here as always. It's Monday the 30th of March, and hello to you both. Hello, Steve Nutt, especially.
Hello, Ted. Hello. Speak for yourself. I've lost quite a bit of weight.
Well done. Very clever chap. I wish I had. But, how have you been doing generally?
Yeah, I'm great. I'm not bad at all. You know, enjoying technology and accessibility, which is what we're going to talk about, and all kinds of things like that.
Business good?
Not bad. Not bad. Can always be better. The blindness market is quite small, so... Yeah. You know, you have to be touting for business all the time. It's not bad.
Sure. Good. Okay, Joe, how are you?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a fat lady, to be fair. I've got moves, so, yeah, that's fair.
Yes. Okay, let's crack on with the show. And because Steve is on the show, and as regular listeners will know, he usually brings something along with him to... try and get AI to analyze our photo of the week. Well, I sent the photo of the week to him a day or so ago and gave him the chance to do just that again. So at the top of the show, let's do photo of the week, completely switch it around.
1948.
And hand, unlock my phone.
And hand over to Steve. Yeah. So I sent you the photo telling you the title of the photo. And what tools have you used and what have you come up with?
I'm actually using TalkBack, which is Google's built-in accessibility. For those who don't know, I'm blind. So I'm using TalkBack, which is Google's accessibility. And TalkBack basically sends the image to Gemini, and then Gemini analyzes it and then feeds it back to TalkBack.
Yeah.
So basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look for the image.
Image preview.
There it is. And now I'm going to tap once with three fingers.
TalkBack menu. Describe image.
And the first option there is describe image on the TalkBack menu. So I'm going to have it describe the image. Here it goes.
Image description. The image shows a silhouette of a person in a green shirt walking through tall grass on a hill. The background is hazy with layers of hills and mountains. The sky is a pale grey. The image is dark and moody. In horizontal pager.
There we go. So that's my description.
I was going to say, how on earth it knows the shirt is green? I've no idea, but that's fine. Go on.
Is it not green then?
No, the whole thing is in silhouette. The whole foreground with the grass and the person in silhouette is just a black silhouette.
Fair enough. That's a slight green tinge to it on one side, perhaps. That's extremely interesting.
But it might be taking its lead from the fact that there's grass around the figure.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to bring in the other exciting bit, which I hinted at you before the show, didn't I, Ted and Joe?
Yep.
The exciting bit now is we have a button here called...
Text in image. Ask Gemini. Button.
Ask Gemini. So what we can do is we can ask Gemini anything about the image that we want. So have you got any question that you want me to ask it about the image?
Is the person a male or female?
Interesting, right? Is the person male or female?
Does not provide enough detail to determine the gender of the person.
Okay.
Okay, well, the person has got a ponytail. It is possible that a bloke could have a ponytail, but the image generally kind of suggests that it's a girl. Another question. What's that thing on top of the hill towards the middle right?
What's that thing on the top of the hill towards the middle right?
It's a rocky outcrop or peak on a hill in the background.
Yeah, it might also be a cloud, might it? Oh, no, I don't know what it is. I can't see what it is, but it's something that is not in the line of the hill. It might be a line of trees or something. Joe, any questions?
How the hell does it know it's a green shirt? No, joking.
Yeah, you could
ask
him that.
I'll ask you if you want.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, go on, let's try.
How do you know the person's wearing a green shirt since it's a silhouette?
The color of the shirt is inferred from the provided file name, PSC888, potter.jpg, which suggests the image might be associated with a specific context or series where colours are relevant. Showing items 5...
That's an interesting answer, isn't it?
Yeah. Explain what he meant.
I don't understand. What...
The pigment... He picked up
time
the...
Question, yeah. Ask Gemini. Button.
Hang on. So, we can ask it... What does it mean by the file name representing the colour?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
How does that file name represent the colour?
File name, PSC888, Potter.jpg, doesn't explicitly represent the colour green, but it's possible that Potter could stand for picture of the week, and the number or other parts of the file name might be associated with a specific theme or contest where colour information is included or implied.
Wow.
I don't know what that means, really. Unless
Nor
it's
do
saying,
I said. I didn't expect that either.
Unless it's saying that 888 is a colour that's used in graphing for, you know, what those things are called when you pick colours. In
Very interesting.
Yeah. Right.
Now, the reason... Now, often... I mean, obviously, this is a silhouette, this photo. Now, if the picture has more detail and stuff like that, some of its descriptions... have been very good. Now, the reason this is exciting, guys, is because not only can you do that in TalkBack, but in Gemini itself, if you open Gemini Live, you can say share the camera. And if you say share the camera, you can ask Gemini what it sees in the back camera or the front camera. So what you can do is you can walk around with your phone and artificially see what's in front of you, which is slightly, it's becoming exciting for me. Can you see that?
Yeah.
So not only can you describe an image with TalkBack, but you can also describe the screen with TalkBack. Now, what I mean by this is you can describe the screen of your phone with TalkBack. Mm. What that means is if you've got an inaccessible application, and I'll explain what that is later in the show, but if you've got an inaccessible application where the buttons are not correctly labelled, you can actually interrogate that button with TalkBack and ask it to give you a button label.
Okay.
So we're beginning to see AI in screen readers,
yeah.
And Google are kind of first to do it. Apple do it. They have image recognition, but they don't send it to the cloud. They only do it offline, and the descriptions are very brief and verbose. But with Gemini, you can get very detailed descriptions. You can say, I'm blind, so I need more detail, and she will go into to more detail on that. And to me, that's really exciting.
Right, okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
just quickly,
does that mean,
Ted, sorry.
Sorry, does that mean that the MeWe app could be more accessible? Not because MeWe have done it, but because Google have done something?
It could, but it wouldn't be efficient, because what you'd have to do is you'd have to move to every button and ask TalkBack to interrogate
it.
Once TalkBack has interrogated every button and it's got all the button labels, it could be pseudo-accessible. But what I don't want is for Gemini to become an excuse for app developers not to make apps accessible.
Yeah.
You know.
Sorry, Joe.
That is a bit of a danger.
Sorry, you know? Joe. I interrupted you.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to ask the question. I remember last time you was on, Steve, you mentioned about the Ray-Bans being really good, and you ask it what it sees. What's been better for you, the Gemini camera use and saying what it sees, or the glasses? What's been better for you?
Gemini every time. I wish I could wear it on my head, honestly.
Oh, interesting.
Because I can't wait for Google XR, because Google are bringing out glasses with Samsung.
That's what I was going to say. Google Glasses is the answer, then.
I can't wait for that. But if I can get Gemini in my head and say, look, you know, what's in front of me, what's to my left, what's to my right, and so on. I mean, I've done things, for example, we have the Nest doorbell. Mm-hmm. So we've got the back door and front door cameras on the Nest doorbell. And when people have come to my door, I've actually gone into the Home app, the Google Home app, and asked Gemini or TalkBack to describe the image of the person at the door, you know.
Yeah, cool.
And it's done it really well, you know. Nest already does face recognition. So if it's Angie at the door or Debbie, my support worker, at the door, I know they're at the door because I've programmed their faces, you know, with permission. But you know, to actually describe someone at the door is quite. So I've been, just for context, I've been blind from birth. Ted knows this probably, but I don't think Joe does. I've been blind from birth, Joe.
I've listened to previous shows, so
And I've never seen in my life. So to actually be able to see, even if it's artificially see, is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think this can only, this is the worst that AI is going to be. So if it's going to get better and not hallucinate, you know, if it's going to tell me truthfully what's around me, this is absolutely going to be fantastic, you know.
Definitely.
It becomes more automated for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We'll come back to AI a bit later. Let's just finish off the photo of the week, though, and mention that this photograph is called Hiker, because the girl, well, I think it's a girl, walking across the grass in the kind of semi-foreground is a hiking person, although she doesn't have a backpack or anything on. But anyway, she's walking across the grass, and there are hills layered going back, and as the further they go back, the more in relief they are, and the closer it gets to the hazy, kind of misty top half of the frame. This was taken on a Leica Lights phone by Gavin Fabiani Le Monde at a place called Little Miss Tor in Dartmoor. So thanks very much for that, Gav, and thanks to Steve for doing a bit of analysis there and explaining what's going on with it.
Thanks for an interesting picture, Gavin. I enjoyed analysing that one.
Cool. So let's get a couple of things out of the way first before we hand over completely to you, Steve. The first one is that I've got a Sony Xperia 1 Mark 4 and a 5 Mark 4, and they're sitting in a drawer not doing much. So I sent them across to Ed House, who's very interested in audio and photography, and I asked him what he thought and if he had any things to say, because we knew that, Steve, you were coming on the show. I'll rattle through this as quickly as I can. I always assumed 3.5mm was superior to USB-C, says Ed, because it's not a jack of all trades, but given the opportunity, I wanted to test the theory. Put 5 tracks on 3 phones, the Sony 5-4, the Poco X3 NFC, and the Pixel 7a with the Apple USB-C adapter. The Poco and Pixel can't use the Sony Music app, so I used PowerAmp instead. No equalization. Using the wire on my Sony headphones, avoiding any BT codec issues, I tested the first on the Sony 5 Mark IV and decided max volume was tolerable and keeps the compression simple. Tested each song using the 5 Mark IV first. The Poco results were essentially identical to the Sony's, but with very slightly less clarity. The 7A was noticeably louder, though not necessarily clearer or higher quality. From repeated listening, it appears that this is down to Sony giving a slightly wider soundstage than the Pixel. To eliminate it being power amp, I tried FUBAR 2000 on the Pixel, same result, and downloaded power amp to the Sony. I tried the USB-C adapter. I hope you're keeping up here with the Sony. It's much quieter with the Sony or Poco than the 3.5mm. The biggest difference was in playing back classical and Pink Floyd tracks. The extra depth on the Sony allows the big drums, deeper strings, and much noticeably more texture and granularity to the sound. And the high triangles, and I think xylophone, hit harder and clearer. For Pink Floyd, the backing instruments and sound effects, like a helicopter whirring, were better defined on the Sony, but without sacrificing decent volume and bass. So his summary was, after all that, Pixel on the USB was louder and punchier, the Sony was better for overall clarity and complex sound, and for its modest positioning and price, the Poco was not disappointing either. So that's what I threw at you by email, Steve, earlier, and just wondered for Ed if you've got any feedback or thoughts on what he said.
I can't agree or disagree with anything he said, because I've never tried a Poco machine phone.
No.
Although I mean, and I've got a Pixel 10, but I did have a Pixel 8. So did he say it was a Pixel 8 or Pixel 7?
A 7A.
7A. So I don't think I had a 7A. I had the 7, and okay. then I had the 8. So the A would be a little bit more budget than the 7, wouldn't it? So yeah. I think the 7 would maybe better than the 7A, even yeah. in sound, because I think the A's weren't so good a sound as the regular Pixels. What I don't think he told us is what format of file he played them in.
Right, okay.
Because I hate MP3 with a passion. I use FLAC. Every opportunity I can, I use FLAC. So, because MP3 just hurts my ears. because there's too many artifacts, because it's compressed and all that, de-blah, you know. But there you are. I generally, agree. I would agree with what he says, that the USB-C port is quieter. You don't seem to have so much dynamics with the USB-C, but it's more punchy. Right. Sorry, the USB-C was louder, he said, didn't he? That's right. Get it the right way around. Yeah, I do agree with that. But the only one I've got with a 3.5 mil jack is the Sony. I've got the Sony
Hang on a minute, Steve. He said that I tried the USB-C adapter with the Sony. It's much quieter with the Sony Pocals than the 3.5, yeah.
Yeah, now that's interesting. With the 1.6, I think it's a bit louder.
Right, I made it clear to him that these two phones he've got are 3 years old, and
and the Pixel's quite old as well, isn't it? Being 7A, so yeah, I think Pixels have improved. My 10 Pro certainly has very good sound. If you want me to get into now the reason I don't use the Sony as a daily driver, there are two reasons. One is that Wi-Fi calling on Sony phones is crap. Anyone tried it?
Yes, I did have it working. I didn't notice it was crap on my 5.5.
Yeah, on the Pixel, I really get high-definition calls. If I call you on my Pixel, it'd be about as clear as this.
Right.
If I call you on a Sony, there'll be more artifacts and it'll be lower definition. So I don't think the phone module of Sony's is as good as Pixel's.
Right.
The other reason, which I can't get away from, which is a blindness thing, is that the Pixel has a very, very nice feature, which is another nice feature in TalkBack, but it's only available for Pixels. When you open the camera, it gives you what's called guided frame. And is where TalkBack will tell you when your face is in view, if you're doing a selfie and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
But that's only on Pixels. So with the Sony, they have their own version, which is kind of the camera beeps and the beeps get faster and beeps get faster as you get more in range. But it's not as good because guided frame will actually tell you what the camera can see. Yeah. So it will say, I can see a bookcase, I can see this, I can see that. So if I'm taking a picture of you, Ted, at the back camera, I could do it fairly accurately as a blind person if I listen to TalkBack and wait for it to tell me your face is in view.
Yeah.
So, cool. I can't get that on any other Android phone. So that's why Pixels are my daily driver.
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's move on then from Ed and get to Malcolm Bryant, who also sent in a couple of questions. Question one for Steve. The mainstream LLMs, i.e. Gemini, ChatGPT, Claude, etc., have improved their capabilities significantly over the last year or so. Google is putting Gemini front and centre in its future Android plans. How will this help you, Steve, and your community and accessibility?
Well, we've already seen a little bit of that, haven't we, where TalkBack will describe images and get it directly from Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
So we've already seen that with the photo of the week, how it's going to improve it. But the fact that with Gemini, you can, as I said, you can share the camera, you can share the screen to Gemini and have Gemini describe the screen. And as I say, if buttons are inaccessible now then because they're not labeled, then you can sometimes, not always, but sometimes, a lot of the time, sometimes you can get it with Gemini. You can find out what the button is. In fact, I can give you an immediate demo of that if you want, Ted. Let me just show you something. Okay. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into my health app, which is called Withings. And Withings has got a button that's totally inaccessible, right?
Okay.
So listen what, but listen what happens. Now.
Service. Withings app is ready to receive data over Bluetooth. Withings. 0%. Progress bar. Unlabeled.
You have.
Congratulations. You reached your daily 10,000 steps goal.
Oh, nice.
Detected. Image. A simple line drawing of a person's silhouette is centered within a white circle, outlined by a dark gray ring. This icon represents a user profile or a person. Email.
Did you hear that? So it said this icon represents an email or a person. Yeah. Now, I happen to know that with Withings, that's the account button. So you go to your, it's a picture of a person to take you to your account and things like that.
Yeah.
So I could now, I could go into TalkBack now and label that image, go to account or whatever I wanted to label it. So TalkBack's given me a immediate description. As soon as it's seen that image, it's given me an immediate description of what that is. But Withings haven't labeled it. So in previous versions of TalkBack, that would have just said image. And that's all I would have got.
And that stays in there, Steve?
Yes.
Oh, excellent.
Yes. Right. So as soon as it sees that image, it will go for, if unless I label it, Joe, it will actually go for describing it every time it sees
every
the image.
Every time, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And just to finish off Malcolm's bit, the second question kind of leans into what we're talking about anyway, really. Just to explain that Malcolm Bryant is an Android developer. In terms of accessibility on phones, what are the main frustrations, i.e., What could Google and Apple improve, and what do developers get wrong? So I think the inference from the first question is, when he says the future Android plans, what he's talking about is, you know, you just described something that's locked into pixels. Surely that would be better if it was baked into Android and it
no,
got
that,
out
that
there.
That particular feature I just showed you is on every phone, not just pixels.
No.
That's on every single phone.
The previous one, right? About the about identifying what's in front of you.
The guided frame.
The previous one about taking pictures, guided frame, that in the camera. That's individual to pixel.
Yeah.
But TalkBack describing images is true for every phone, including Sony's, Samsung's, the lot.
Right.
There is an issue with Samsung's version of TalkBack because they screw you a bit because they always do old versions of TalkBack. So usually it's best to sideload Google's version, you know.
Right. You could argue that guided frame should be part of TalkBack, couldn't you?
It is part of TalkBack, but only for pixels.
Yeah, it should be part of its standard, shouldn't it?
Yeah, but it's how Google get you by the short and curly,
isn't
it?
Of course.
If you know what I mean. So, you know, you'll buy a pixel because you're blind and you know you're going to get the best accessibility, you know.
Yeah.
As for Malcolm's question, one big frustration I have with Google that doesn't happen with Apple, and I'll tell you why. So Google's text-to-speech, very clear, very natural, but very slow. What I mean by very slow is not slow in speaking rate, but the time between you touching the screen and the time it speaks is quite slow. In other words, latency.
Right.
So if you touch an icon, you might wait a fraction of a second before it reads you that icon.
Mm-hmm.
If you load third-party text-to-speech engines, I've got one called Eloquence, they're instant. So we know it can be done.
Right.
But Google just have not concentrated on the TTS engine, the text-to-speech engine, as much as they should have done. And I've told them all this, so there's no secret. Apple, on the other hand, they don't have their own text-to-speech, so they use a text-to-speech system called Nuance, and it's bloody fast, right?
Right.
And so with the default text-to-speech engine you get with Apple, it's a really good experience with Apple, but if you do it on Android, you have to get a third-party TTS if you have speech really fast like I do. I mean, I've slowed it down so you guys can hear it. But I usually have speech going, you know, almost like, you know, because I can understand it. I've lived with it every day, you know. So the latency on Google TTS is quite frankly terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one thing Google could, you know, improve on. But I think by and large, both Google and Apple have done a really good job at accessibility. What we need is for the developers, and Malcolm is not one of these developers that I include in this, the developers need to care more about labeling buttons with correct text.
Yeah.
So you don't label a button with just an image. So it just says button or image or so on. So it's developers rather than Apple or Google. And And Malcolm's one of those who does care about accessibility, because I've known him for years, and he labels everything perfectly. So every app that he writes generally works really well with TalkBack. And if it doesn't, and I use it and I email him, he usually fixes it. So when we get to my app wrap, I'll tell you how quickly Malcolm fixes things. So
we'll jump there now, Steve.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Let's do your app now, because it fits in with Malcolm, doesn't it?
It does, yes. So my app of the week, one of them anyway, has to be Notification Reader. For those who don't know, Notification Reader was written, I asked Malcolm if he could do it, because I often wear Bluetooth headphones with my phone in my pocket, and I want it to just read me notifications like text. I don't want to have to get my phone out and, you know, go to the lock screen and look at the text and all that. I just wanted it to read in my ear while I'm doing things. So Notification Reader, check it out. Even if you're sighted, because I believe that even if you're sighted, sometimes you don't want to get your phone out if you want your notifications to speak. And it's very, very, what's the word? It's very flexible in what you can have it read. You can either have it read the title of the notification only, or the title and the name of the app, or the name of the app and the title and the full text of the notification. You know, you name it, you can do it. And Malcolm spent a lot of good time. We were going back and forward with it, and Ted helped us with some testing as well.
Yeah.
And it's a really good app. And I think that's my app wrap for the week, cool. For this yeah. one. It's really cool. Another one that Malcolm wrote, I'll just get in there quickly, is called Vibrate the Time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's for wear. That's for watches. So basically, my Pixel watch vibrates every half hour to tell me the time, and also I can flick my wrist and the watch will vibrate the time, so I can actually get it to vibrate and not speak, so I can find out the time in private if I'm in a meeting, or even if I'm on this show, like I just flicked my wrist now and you didn't hear my watch talk, but it just told me the time. So again, it's just a privacy thing, really, isn't it? You know, so those two apps really go hand in hand, I would say.
I'm just in the process of putting a link in the show notes to all of Malcolm's apps on the Play Store, but also to put in a link to the free Epoch as well.
Free Epoch, yeah.
Because some of them are not on the Play Store, but
explained why before, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but he's also got a free Epoch downloader up there, hasn't he?
Yes, that's right.
It's an app you can install to the, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I'll put links in the show notes to all of that. But yeah, a good app wrap, I think, and a good plug for Malcolm and what he does.
Excellent.
Right, let's jump back now to one thing that you wanted to bring forward, which I'll do now, Steve, which is Xperia Accessibility Initiatives. You gave us a link to a website. Which was showing that Sony were trying to do some accessibility. I've got some comments on that when you introduce it, yeah. And also Joe has too.
So basically, as far as I'm concerned, other than the features we've talked about, which are pixel only, I call the Sony Xperia Hi-Fi Pixels.
Right.
Because they are pretty much stock Android. They don't have complex overlays. There are some overlays. I can't remember what they are. Xiaomi, one or two of the others. You know, where they have a Hyper OS and all that lot.
Yeah.
These overlays can interfere with TalkBack. Mm-hmm. And sometimes regular TalkBack gestures don't work with them and things like that. Mm. Not true for Sony. Sony haven't in any way interfered with TalkBack.
Okay.
And I'm really glad about that. Mm-hmm. In fact, they've enhanced it with their own version of Guided Frame, albeit limited. It's a good attempt at it. And I just, because I love the sound of Sony, I love the Sony sound, I keep a phone around for media and stuff like that. And it's really cool. I just love the fact that they've got a dedicated accessibility page. I mean, how many phone manufacturers can you say have? I mean, Apple have, Google have. But beyond that, how many can actually have an accessible, you know, a page that's devoted to accessibility? I think that's, you know, hats off to Sony, really.
And I put a link in the show notes to the video, a 7-minute video on YouTube, and also to the Sony's website as well, which you pointed out. It's clear from that video that it's a very small team, but I think the point is at least they've got one, as you say. And let's hope it's not tokenistic. The thing in the camera in that video, which is really cool, the level beeps. The level beeps at you when it's level. And I can see that working really well for people. And I think we might have spoken about it before, actually. But it makes you wonder how much more deep-rooted some of the stuff that Google can be doing with huge resources. You know, when you maybe you had it described to you, Steve, but looking around that video in the room they were in, there was very few people in the room, and they were it was all quite basic. But incidentally, before I hand over to Joe for his comments, I couldn't get that beep to work, Steve. I've tried and tried. I got Gemini to try and help me. And on my 5 Mark V, I went through all the menus that I was shown, and I didn't turn on TalkBack. The last thing that Gemini said to me is that it might only work if you've got TalkBack turned on.
It does only work if you've got TalkBack turned on.
Oh, right. Well, that was the answer then.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Now, if either of you guys ever want to turn TalkBack on, you don't have to go into settings and mess about at all. Just hold down the up and down volume buttons together.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'd forgotten that.
Yeah?
I should pay attention.
A couple of warnings. TalkBack, right, if you do want to try TalkBack, and I recommend it if you want to see what it's like, right, taps become double taps.
Yes, right? I found that
so
out very quickly.
So where you tap, it becomes a double tap, except if you change it back to a single tap, which I've done. You can do that in TalkBack settings.
Right.
But also, flicks, swipes, left and right, become two finger.
And
the reason for that is single finger swipes just move you between elements on the screen. So TalkBack highlights the element on the
screen.
That's
why I couldn't get out of it.
Really.
Yes, I have a lot of customers that accidentally do that, and they panic. And I have to turn it off for him.
So, before we hand over Lock, Stock and Barrel to Steve, Joe, any feedback on that little video?
Yeah, the only thing that this makes me sad, really, is that video is 3 years old. And I hope Sony still does have that department, but I do wonder, because it does seem like Sony or Xperia team is dwindling down and it's cutting back.
They still have the accessibility department. I did talk to them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as a whole, they no longer sell at networks in the UK, and they no longer they've left the US market as well. And it just worries me where Sony's going, because we, as phone geeks, we do love Sony, and a lot of the stuff they do is fantastic. And it's worrying about their future.
Well, the One Mark 7's just come out, hasn't it?
Yeah. It's but have you seen much about it? Like, was there many leaks and? It's just not much hype for it anymore.
The most thing that came out about the 1.7 when it arrived was that it wasn't made by Sony, and it was a landmark change in the up till now. And this is going out to some third-party builder of phones.
It's got a different camera module, isn't it? Is that right?
Yeah. It was all very kind of... And also, when the phone released, if you remember, they almost had a complete recall because... Mm. What was it that wasn't working? There was something really fundamental that wasn't working, and it was a huge kind of... They stopped selling them for a month or so, and you couldn't get one. And then suddenly they kind of fixed it, and new stocks had it fixed. Can you not remember what that was, either of you?
No, I can't.
It was something quite fun. Oh, I can't. So one of our lovely listeners will tell us. Anyway, there you go, Steve. The 1 Mark 8 is not very far away. In fact, Wise Money is on a May release on that, alongside the next 10.8, the version 10.8. Mm. So it might be worth just waiting for an 8 anyway.
May or June.
It might well be. Yeah. Mm.
But anyway, there you go, Steve. Yeah. Now the floor is yours. Yeah. We've done all the kind of bits that we had to bring to you that people have contributed. Yeah. So take it away.
So what I want to do while I remember is I want to talk about last week's guest, was Mark, what was his name?
Surrey.
And was it, sorry?
Surrey.
Mark Surrey. And he had an issue with one of his phones connecting to Wi-Fi, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
And you said, reset the phone, right? But my guess is not the phone, it's the router end, because I found that the One Mark IV, the Sony One Mark IV, which is an older phone, if I set my router to WPA3, which is Wireless Protected Access 3, which is the latest standard, then the Sony would never connect. If I connect it to WPA2, it would never connect. But if I changed it to WPA/WPA2, which is a mix, then it would connect. So all I was going to say was, Mark, it might be worth looking at your router settings.
Yeah.
And by all means, if he wants to email me for more detail on that, you can give him my email, steve@comproom.co.uk.
Yep.
Cool. Because my feeling is it's probably the router rather than the phone. It sounded like a software issue to me, or a software hardware issue between the phone and the router. And I just wondered, because I tend to do IT twiddling and networking and all that sort of stuff. And I've seen that before with phones where just changing a setting on the router will make it connect.
So ignore my sledgehammer solution.
No, don't ignore it, but don't make it the first thing you do. Because you may reset and then it don't connect anyway, you know.
Yeah, so I know.
It's worth going for the router first, I'd say.
Sure. You know? Talking of resetting phones, Steve, just while we're here, I'm thinking about resetting my Xperia 5.5 because the battery life on it is just becoming much worse. Now, I know that it's getting a bit older now, fair enough, but I think that even taking that into account, I think there's something I think I need to reset it. It probably hasn't been redone since Android 15 arrived. It's not going to get Android 16, but I think that I might have to reset it because of it. Yeah, possibly. it's just not doing very well with the battery these days. But that's just an aside.
Yeah, and I will say this: Google and Apple are the same in this. If you reset an Android phone and you're blind, you can just hold down the volume buttons and it will turn TalkBack on. That's cool, isn't it?
Sorry, say that again.
If you reset an Android phone,
yeah,
and you turn it on, it comes up at the setup screen, right? And you're blind, so you don't know where it is. You don't know when it's come on or whatever. So you what you do is you wait 30 seconds when you've turned it on, and then you just hold down the volume buttons, and TalkBack comes on and reads out the setup screen, and you're off and running.
Do you know, Steve, I don't know if you've noticed this, Joe, but in those last two flagship Motorola devices, when you first turn them on to set them up, you get a verbal thing that says if you want, and you don't have to press anything. All you do is turn it on, those Motorola ones. Did you notice that, Joe?
No, I didn't, actually.
Okay. Yeah, it was verbal, and I thought, "Oh, what's it talking to me for?" But I've never heard that on any other device. So maybe they're making that even simpler than pressing buttons, Steve.
Yeah, I didn't hear. Hello, Mojo.
I'm hoping the Pixels do that as well. You know,
cool.
Eventually, because that'd be good. I mean, because currently, I'm wrong. Now, when you reset a Pixel, I've forgotten about this because I just reset mine because I'm on the beta. When you turn it on, and if you want to try this with a Pixel, it's very interesting, Ted. When you turn it on and you get at the setup screen, it does a pulse, vibrating pulse, like a heartbeat.
All right.
So it tells you that the phone's on.
Right.
So then you can just hold down the volume button, and it said, did you really mean to turn back, talk back on?
Right.
And then you just tap the OK button, because talk back is already on, and talk back's on. And then from then on, just to show you how easy it is, if I hold down the volume keys,
window talk back off.
There you go, talk back is off.
Yeah.
Okay, that was my notifications. Do it again.
Talk back on.
There you go. See? Yeah, so all you got to do is hold down the two volume buttons to turn talk back on. So if you want to experiment with it, it's fun. Yeah.
Perhaps that's perhaps that's similar to what Motorola have picked up on then.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
So I think you know that the fact that they've made it you can turn on accessibility without going into settings and doing stuff, you know, just by holding down key combinations, is really good. You know, both Apple and Google have basically, with Apple, you triple tap the side button, for those who want to know.
Right.
And that turns on VoiceOver, which is Apple's screen reader.
Right.
And you triple tap it again to turn it off. It's as simple as that.
Cool.
Yeah. So really, it's pretty cool what Google and accessibility have done in terms of accessibility. I can't complain much, but since Malcolm asked me what they could improve, as I say, the latency in Google TTS is pants, to be honest.
Yeah.
Could be a lot better. But I think the voices, because the voices are really good quality, I think the problem is they're taking up too much real estate to be latent, if you know what I mean.
Right.
You know, I'd settle for lower quality voices if they were, you know, faster when you touch the screen. But yeah, there you are. The other thing you may not have known about, because I've never told anyone about this on the show, I've never told you, Ted, or Joe, is did you know that the phones now, in TalkBack, has Braille screen input? So what you can do is, instead of having your Gboard, your QWERTY keyboard, you can set it to Braille screen input, and then it'll ask you to put three fingers, your three middle fingers of each hand, on each end of the screen, and it will calibrate to your fingers, because Braille is six dots, right? And then you can type with multiple fingers in Braille, and you can type really fast then on touchscreens, and that's what I use. I use Braille screen input sometimes. You know, most of the time I use the Gboard because I'm used to it, but Braille screen input is really quite good, and you do flick right for space and flick left for backspace and things like that, you know. Cool.
Yeah.
So Apple and Google have both got Braille screen input. That's another thing, you know. So pretty good.
Very interesting that,
And they also connect to Braille displays as well. So I have a 20-character Braille display, and I have it on a lanyard around my neck, and I connect it up to my phone, and then I've got physical Braille keys I can type to my phone just like a regular keyboard. See? So, again, and I've got a Braille output display as well, so I can read what's on the screen in TalkBack in Braille as well. So there's a lot going on in accessibility land, you know. It's all very, very nice in terms of that. And you know, it's not something that a lot of sighted people are interested in, but those that are tend to get really interested in it. And developers sometimes.
Yeah, we do know that lots of our listeners prick their ears up when they know you're coming on the show, and we always get positive feedback. So then, lots of our listeners must really appreciate you talking about it.
And I also try my best because I'm an Android user. I try not to discount Apple because Apple have done just as well in terms of accessibility. I know this because Angie, my wife, has got an iPhone, and she's pretty much always had an iPhone. Well, she used Android fleetingly, but she preferred iPhone. And so it's good for me because it means that I can keep a balanced kind of perspective on what's going on. And occasionally, you know, if I can prize the phone out of her hand, she'll let me play with it to try some accessibility thing out on it, you know.
Yeah.
And that's how I keep up with both sides of the fence, as it were. The only thing I want to try and do is I want to try and find out these other phones with different OSs, you know, with big skins on the top of Android, how well they work with TalkBack. So that's, if you get any weird phones, Ted, that I can play with, let me know.
We've got one on the way to you, which is the TCL Next Paper. Now that will be interesting. At the moment, I've loaned it to Gareth Williams. He's going to send it on to you. It will be interesting because the layers across the top of the screen on the TCL NextPaper devices are significant because they're designed to stop reflections mainly. It feels like paper. It's a really weird.
Does it?
Yeah. It's a really odd feeling. You run your fingers over it and it's even more papery feeling than any Kindle or anything like that. It doesn't really feel like glass at all. So what they're doing with TalkBack, who knows?
what I'll do is I'll write you an email, Ted, once I've played with it and tell you how well it works or otherwise with TalkBack.
Yeah, we'll get you back on the show.
You know, that'd be fun. And you know, so long as it's not my daily driver phone, I don't mind playing with it, and you know, and playing TalkBack, and you know, seeing what we can do with it.
And, Steve, have you used the Motorola in recent times?
I've used Motos, yeah.
In recent times, have you? Yeah.
No, I had a Moto. What the heck did I have years ago? I can't remember. What was the Moto phone? But they're pretty much stock, aren't they, Joe?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They're very much like Sony in the sense that they're close to stock, so they might go really well with TalkBack as well.
I tell you what would be really interesting, and I would be surprised if they weren't doing it well, is a Nothing phone. Because Carl Pei and his kind of vision of what Nothing is about. I don't know. I mean, I might be totally wrong, but it'd be really interesting to try and actually. I have got a spare Nothing phone I could send over. So I'll just make a big box for you, Steve.
No, well, honestly, I mean, anything you want me to test with TalkBack and give you feedback, I'm quite happy to do it. And I'll look after it as I always do with my phones.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting. Well, I tell what we'll do is over the coming 2 or 3 or 4 months or whatever, we'll book you up to come back on, and in that time I'll keep sending you what I can for you to test, and then we'll have a big feedback session. Okay.
Yeah, why not? I'll enjoy that.
Cool.
Yeah.
So your mate. I mean, sorry.
It's easy with Apple because Apple is Apple. So you know, every Apple phone. It's the same. VoiceOver is the same. Everything's the same. That's why I'm interested in Android, you see, because there's so many different choices of phones, sizes, foldables, not foldables, hi-fi, not hi-fi. Do you know what I mean? It's just a more fascinating side to be on, isn't it?
Well, there's certainly lots of options. And some of these, you're right, some of these skins over the top of... over the top of Android are just like the worst example that I can think of is Poco and Xiaomi. I just do not like what they've done with it at all, and I'm beginning to not like what Honor have done with it, to be honest, because they're just aping Apple all the time. They're trying to draw Apple fans in and get them to come across, and it's like using an iPhone. But I have to be careful.
You know, I think Samsung are doing a bit of that, aren't they?
Yeah, I think and Pixel are as well to some degree. I mean, if you look at the way in which it's all going, but we need to be careful because Joe's an honor hero.
Oh yes, I'm such a hero. Yeah.
Have you got a spare honor phone, Joe?
I haven't at the moment, but when I have, I'd happily send it over. Yeah,
we can work all that out. Yeah,
definitely.
We'll make sure we'll send you some phones. Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, be interesting.
And of course, all of this is good to the blind community at large, because I'd report on the blind Android users list.
Yeah,
we can feed back to Honor and
this would be really cool.
And Motorola as well, can't we, Ted? So.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to talk about very quickly is there's a new app. I haven't tried it yet, but I only found out about it today. And there's a new app called Audiflow, AUDIFLO. And what it is, it's an ebook reader, and it uses TTS voice. It uses AI voices, but you can actually load a file, say a book, like a PDF file or an EPUB book and all that, and it will analyze the book, and it will look for the names of characters and things like that, and it will assign them different voices.
Wow. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. As you're reading your book,
that's really cool.
And you can set what voice is used, and it uses Google's high-quality TTS, text-to-speech engine. And latency doesn't matter when it's reading, you see, because it's reading out. You're not touching the screen. And this Audiflow, apparently, it does that. There is a podcast called Blind Android Users Podcast, and I found out about it from there. I don't regularly listen to that podcast because they often go over the same ground that I've been over, if you know what I mean. But, you know, it's a good podcast if you're blind, certainly, and if you're new to Android and stuff like that. And it's a good recommendation. Mm. But the guys there, they have an app of the week, and it happened to be Audiflow this week. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I must look at it and see. Because, you know, the idea of having male voices for male characters and female voices for female characters when you're allowed reading a book, that sounds quite clever, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
You know? Yeah.
It's a bit like the whole... Notebook LM podcast creation tool, which is just it's just spooky, isn't it? And they absolutely spooked me out when I first did that. Chuck, I threw one of my film reviews at it, and it and they did this 20-minute podcast about this review, and it just sounds like people. It's just spooky.
Yeah. Another spooky.
Just
sorry,
quickly, Dan. Steve, again, though, like what you said, it's good for even sighted people as well, because I don't like reading, and I just can't picture the characters and that. What you just described would be perfect for me, even.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely great.
Bringing the book alive.
And the other thing is, it's not designed. It doesn't say it's designed for blind people, but the guy has said that it's completely talkback accessible. So that's really good as well.
Yeah,
you know,
it's fantastic.
I shall have a look at it certainly, and you know, and give it a whirl, as it were.
I can't get to the pricing. When I clicked through to their website and clicked on pricing, here it's just popped up now in dollars.
It's $10 one time purchase, isn't it?
There's a free version, which is five presentations. $60 a year for 25 presentations. $150 a year for unlimited.
Eh? That's not the right app.
Oh, isn't it? Audiflow. AUDIFLO.
Is it? Did it say it's an ebook reader?
Features. Transform your presentations for different audiences with AI power.
No. That's not it. No,
there's two things
name,
called Audiflow.
Yes, I'll have to send you a link for the show notes, maybe.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. But yeah, I only found out about it today. So it sounds like a pretty cool app, to be honest.
Great.
And the development, yeah.
Might be able to nick it from that podcast show notes, Ted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Blind Android Users. Podcast. That's what one is, and it's this week's episode, so you can nick it from that.
I found it now. It's on the Play Store.
Yeah,
so
seeing as they've copied our app wrap anyway, Ted, you know.
Yeah. Audiflow AI TTS ebook voice. Yeah, that's it.
That's the one,
right?
Yeah.
So what you could send me a link for is the Braille screen input thing. I can't find that. But, yeah, carry on.
There isn't a link to that. It's part of TalkBack.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll ignore
it's actually
that.
Built into TalkBack.
Okay.
If I find a link regarding it, I'll send you one.
Okay.
How long has that been part of TalkBack? Is it quite new?
About 2 years.
I'd say it's quite new, yeah. So it just shows you the progress they're making.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. The other thing I wanted to talk about was a hardware device. And this is to do with Android. Don't worry about it. It's called Plaud AI, Plaud.ai. That's the website, right? And I recently bought the Plaud Note Pro, which is a little device which is MagSafe. So it fits on the back of your phone, or you can use it separately. But basically what you do is you set up a Plaud account, and then you can record any meeting that you go to. Like, I could record this show, if you like, and it would write up the transcript, and it would summarize it, and it would put it into headings, and it would name speakers. So if I say hello, Ted, and you say hello, Steve, it would remember that, and it would name all the speakers and did that. And recently I went to a hospital appointment, and I recorded it, the whole thing, and it made me a complete searchable index of the whole meeting, who was speaking, what they were speaking about.
Oh, yeah.
Gave me an audio version of the transcript.
Now, we had this on our Tech Addicts podcast when it was first surfaced. And we concluded between us that it really wasn't doing anything that you couldn't do with a phone and Gemini. But perhaps we were wrong.
I think you are. Yeah.
Okay.
Because with a phone and Gemini, you have to do something.
Right.
With this hardware device, you just hold down one button, it vibrates and starts recording. And then you hold that button down, or you press the button briefly for bookmarks, and then you hold the button down long again to stop it. It's just one button on it. And then it goes, boop, 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 and you go into the Plaud app, and it's all there for you.
Right.
So, no, I don't agree. Okay. I mean, yes, you could. You have to send it up to Gemini as a separate process, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And do all that. But Plaud is actually indexing it, summarizing it, making it headings, and writing it all up and everything else. And you can even correct the dictation. So in other words, if somebody said something and it typed it wrong in the description, you only correct it once, and Plaud goes and corrects it all through the summary, you know.
Right. I think wasn't the other thing that you had to pay a subscription on it as well? It wasn't just buying it.
Yeah, there's plans there. I can see that.
There are plans there, but the free plan is, I think, something silly like 300 hours a month.
Right.
I haven't paid for it yet.
Okay.
That's not too bad, is it?
No.
But the unit's about 100 odd quid, isn't it?
Yeah, but you can also get a Plaud Note pin, which you can pin on your shirt.
Right.
And record. But the Plaud Note Pro, if you stick it on the back of your phone, it records phone calls. And if you hold it in your hand, or if you put it on a table, it records what's in the room.
Yeah, it's all coming back to me now.
It's not quite as cut and dry, Ted, as what you said about
I was going to say, I think we'll have to put it back on the show after this.
I'll tell you, as a blind person, it's damn good. I'll tell you, because I record... I do a lot of training where I do one-on-one training with blind people, and I train them for an hour. Mm-hmm. And before, I had to write up the notes and do all that. Now all I do is I go into Plaud, export it, send it to them, you know, and off we go.
Yeah, it sounds really good.
With a bit of checking, you know.
Yeah. I think I shall have to look at it again.
So have you got the pin, Steve, or...?
No, I've got the Pro.
It looks well built. Feel nice in the hand.
Which is the bit you put on the back of the phone? The actual device itself?
The whole device, just magnetises to the back of the phone. The back of the device has a magnet, and it just magnetises to the back of the phone.
Unless you've got a plastic phone.
But it works well on a Pixel. Unless you've got a case on it.
No, a Pixel 10, not a Pixel 9.
It's only essentially 3 millimetres thick, so it's not very thick.
It's really thin.
30 grams.
Really thin. Yeah, it looks really interesting, and we shall look at it again,
I love it. I love it, to be honest.
Cool. Very good. I'll put that in the show notes as well.
I think that's probably... You've probably had enough of me now, but I think that's probably...
No, not at all. If you've got anything
else... I think
else,
that's the notes I had, didn't
we? Your main SIM card, then, is in the Pixel 10 Pro, and your secondary usage device is the Xperia 1 Mark 6, is that right?
Yeah, what's a SIM card?
Oh, you've got an eSIM, have you?
Of course I have got an eSIM. I don't want to mess about with SIM trays.
I can't do eSIMs because I change my device about 10 times a day.
I've got eSIMs. I've got eSIMs. I've got one in the Sony and one in the Pixel.
Let me rephrase that. So you've got you've got SIM capability in both of those phones, then.
Indeed.
Right. But the one that you use as your main kind of phone is the Pixel, is it? Yeah,
Pixel.
Okay.
Pixel goes everywhere with me.
Yeah.
Sony...
Have you seen that the Pixel 11, which is kind of being leaked now, they're going to be slimming it down and making the camera island less bulbous, and they're going to make the screen a bit bigger, keeping the shell the same? There's various leaks kicking about.
Yeah, I've seen those. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll affect me that much.
No. I think they're going to keep it much the same, to be honest. It's not that different.
Yeah. So I must say the Pixel speakers are good, aren't they, Ted?
Yes, I've got a Pixel 9 here, not the 10, and I think that the speakers are very good. They're not quite as good as the Pixel Fold speakers, but they're a very close second. I'm very impressed. In what ways do you think they're really good?
Well, I think the Sony beats them. My 1 Mark 6 beats them because it has more depth.
Right.
But the Pixel's got the wide imaging stereo in the speakers, so I can put it in front of me and hear far left and far right and stuff like that. Good sound separation.
Yep.
And so on. And it's loud too. The Pixel goes quite loud.
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing, which I literally just thought of, Ted, have you seen the new Sony earbuds, which are the Link Buds clip?
Yeah, the clip thing is. I've got the Motorola version of those, and I love them. I think they're really good.
I love the clip, the Sony clip. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
They're not hi-fi because they don't connect via LDAC or anything like that.
No.
But to go to the gym, you don't even know you're wearing them.
No.
You know.
And that's
so good.
And that's exactly the same as the Motorola version. The Anker ones that I had before, which were pretty much the same design, they were really uncomfortable. That you knew you had them on. They were too tight, I think. But the Motorola ones are really, really... what you're saying about the Sony ones. Yeah, you just don't know they're there.
No, that's right.
But I wouldn't mind trying to get a pair of them because I'd like to test them against the Motorola ones, particularly with an Xperia phone. Even though you don't get these codecs and whatever, you'd expect it to work pretty well with the Sony phone, wouldn't you?
It does. It does work well with Xperia. Works just as well with the Pixel, though, because the Pixel supports the codecs it supports.
Yeah,
so, you know, so it does work just as well with the Pixel. And... But I just wear them all day long, just walking around the house.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's the other thing I like about the glasses as well, because the Ray-Ban glasses that Joe mentioned at the beginning of the show, I can wear those and I can wear earbuds at the same time.
Yes, exactly.
So I can listen to my computer and my phone at the same time.
Brilliant. Mm. And that's a big problem with glasses, because I wear glasses when I'm looking at my computer. And with these other solutions for earbuds, they just kind of get in the way of that.
Yeah. But... I will say, apparently, I haven't got any yet, but the Oakleys have better speakers than the Ray-Bans.
Oh, okay.
The Oakley Vanguards.
Okay, right.
Yeah, so I'm going to one day perhaps treat myself to a pair of Oakley Vanguards, but I've been waiting in case Google XR comes out, you know, because I'm going to jump on that, like, you know, anything once that comes out.
Yeah. I think the Sony Clips are about 130 quid, aren't they?
179, aren't they?
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah,
the Vanguards are huge, though. They're like skiing type of...
They are, yeah. But the speakers are really good on them. I tried them out at an exhibition. A lady had them and let me try them. Yeah,
I can imagine.
The speakers are really good. Mm. Yeah.
But, yes, I'm with you on that. I really like that whole loops thing. And after I tried the Motorola ones, I was completely sold on it. I did have, as I said, I had the Anker ones before, or the Soundcore or whatever they were. And I was never completely sold because they weren't that comfortable. But when I got the Motorola ones, it was just really different. So if the Sonys are like those, then great.
Yeah, and the battery life is really good. They're about 10 hours.
10 hours. That's better than the Motorola ones. So but actually, when I've seen pictures of them, the Sony ones do look as though they're physically bigger than the Moto ones. So you would probably hope they'd have a bigger battery. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. One more thing, just to get people going. Mm-hmm. You know the Pixel Buds 2 Pro.
Pixel Buds 2 Pro. Right. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Those are the most accessible headphones you could buy.
Oh.
And I'll tell you why. This is really interesting because no other headphones do this. When you put each bud in the case, it beeps.
Oh, right.
So you put the bud in the case, it goes beep. And another one in the case, it goes beep. It does it in a higher beep to tell you that two are in the case, right? When the case is low on battery and the earbuds are connected to your ears, the case starts beeping to tell you it's low on battery, right? When you plug it in, the case makes a noise to tell you it's charging.
Right.
Now, you couldn't get more accessible than that, could you?
No, exactly.
Whether it's accident or not, I don't know, you know.
Yeah. I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it's on purpose, yeah.
Because one of the worst things I find, Joe, with anything is you plug it into charge and they say, how do you know it's charging? Well, it's a nice green light comes on. Well, that's no use to me, is it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
You know.
You want some
so the fact that the Pixel Buds beep when you plug them in is really neat.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Right, let's take some of our contributions from our good listeners, as we've got a bit of spare time here. Luke Van Eed is first on Motorola Signature and Australia. He wrote to us on the last show saying that he bought one from eBay and had to import it from India.
His
Motorola Edge 60 Pro, that was. Follow-up from my last audio insert about Motorola Signature a few weeks ago. Motorola Australia just announced the local release of the Signature. It seems to be launching on the 15th of April. They announced pre-orders of the 512 gig version, and it's going to be $1,500, which is $200 more than the Indian import I got on eBay. After using it for a few weeks now, I really do think that's an extremely good phone. This is the Edge 60 Pro. As discussed on recent episode of the podcast, I'm glad that you both agree. The speakers are amazing. The screen, this is extremely nice. The main camera and the zoom camera are very good. I was just a bit let down by the image quality of the ultra wide, which is, I think, is one thing that you said as well, Joe. But overall, it's certainly worth being called the new flagship for Motorola. Oh, no, it was the Signature, wasn't it? Not the Edge 60 Pro. Yeah. I'm getting confused. And I would recommend it to any PSC listener. So there you go, Luke. Thanks for the feedback, and sorry to get confused. But I'm glad you've got sorted with whatever you wanted to do. Paul Granger, Joe?
Yeah, he's been using the Unihertz Titan 2, not the Elite version. Mm-hmm. He's been comparing it to his an older device, the BlackBerry Passport, which he says is a much underestimated smartphone. He said that the first thing that struck me about the Titan 2 is the physical size and weight, which he's definitely right there. It's a beast. it's about 20% heavier than the Passport. It's 6 millimeters taller and over 1 millimeter thicker. The Titan 2 is definitely a chunky beast. The screen is very similar in size to the Passport. The keypad is larger, with a row of physical function keys above it. One of the great things about BlackBerry's was the smoothness of the keypad in use. Yep, here definitely. Whilst the Titan 2 keypad is very good, it doesn't have that BlackBerry silky smoothness. Yeah, I 100% agree on that as well.
Yeah.
My initial conclusion is that the Titan 2 is a very good device of its type. However, it's not as smooth and easy to operate as the Passport, which was designed well over a decade ago. It was the pinnacle of the genre. Nevertheless, I intend to keep using and enjoying it. I think this is what my thoughts were with the Titan as well. It's a nice attempt, but it's just not a BlackBerry, is it? Right. It's not the same. And maybe the Elite version will be more closer to that. It'll be interesting to see. Thanks for that, Paul Granger.
Steve, with QWERTY devices, and this might be a dumb question, but is there any way that people without sight could be... I suppose that they could use the keyboard, couldn't they? But using the screen with TalkBack at the same time, or that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah. So basically what happens is, as you move your finger over the screen, the keys are read out. And then when you hear the key you want to type, you lift your finger off the screen.
No, but they've got a physical QWERTY keyboard, these ones.
Oh, I beg your pardon, yes.
But what I'm trying to get to is that there's no system whereby if you put your finger on one of the hardware keys, it tells you what it is. But I suppose you wouldn't need to, because you would learn typing on a physical keyboard, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, when you press the key, it tells you what it is.
Right.
So when you actually press the physical key, so if I'm typing Ted and I hit T, TalkBack will say T once I hit the key.
All right.
So you would know if you made a mistake. TalkBack has also got settings, interestingly, where you can have it read character and word, or just word. So I can either have it say T-E-D space or T-E-D space Ted, or I can just have it say nothing until I hit space, and then it says Ted, which is what I tend to do.
And it would do that with the physical keyboard as well?
Yes, it will, yes.
Oh, right, okay, cool.
In fact, TalkBack has got separate settings for physical and on-screen keyboards.
Right.
Yep.
Cool. Okay, thanks very much.
That's what I say, accessibility is really coming on, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is.
You know.
A quick nod to Ian Furlong of Cool Smartphone fame for his review of the Motorola Razr 60 Ultra, which he summarises things nicely, linking the show notes to that. And I think, Joe, he was in his review probably thinking very similar to us on it, wasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. It does mirror a lot of my thoughts, and like you say, it's very well put together, so I do recommend it.
One of the things I really like about the Razr is that it resembles closed an MP3 player, an old-fashioned... I've got an iPod Classic in a drawer here somewhere, and whether it's audio or visual, if you've got a pair of earphones or headphones or whatever, it's kind of nostalgic, really. You shut the thing up and it becomes a little, well, not quite a Sony Walkman, but it becomes, because it's square-shaped and pocketable, it just feels like it's, it reminded me very much of my iPod Classic with a little video screen on it as well. If you want to watch it on a small 2-inch screen, you can. Well, we've got a 4-inch screen now, so it's bigger and better. And that whole MP3 player thing, I think that the Razr's really good at that, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really nice for audio playing on.
Never had a Razr phone, actually.
I
always thought you had a shave with them, to be honest.
in our little scheme, we can probably send you a Razr over as well. So,
it's funny you say that. I start my video like that, don't I? Pretending it's a Razr.
Oh, yes, you did, didn't you? That's right. But I'll get you a Razr, Steve, because we have got a spare one.
Thank you. Yes.
So, look, the ghost of Steve Litchfield is back.
Is he?
Joe?
What's that? Oh, yes, yeah. I should keep up, shouldn't I, really?
Pay attention.
Yeah, I was like, falling asleep there, yeah. So, yeah, Steve Litchfield on Under the Bonnet updates. So several times recently on OS updates has been mentioned for either Android or iOS where the changelog is quite trivial. Like adds a new emoji or something small like that or similar. I would like to make it clear to the general listenership. I can't say that word, can I? What an idiot. that these updates also roll in many under the bonnet updates and fixes. Users shouldn't dismiss any update as unimportant. It's all the stuff that can't see deep in the OS that they need. That's in bold letters and the update too. And I agree, it really is needed. Every update that comes through, I make sure I get it because you just don't know what it's fixing behind the scenes. So I agree with you there, Steve. He goes on to say, keep up the good work and I'll chat to you and Ted and Joe on Go Live next time you go live. So we look forward to
23rd of April.
Joining us.
No, 20th of April. I keep making that mistake. Monday the 20th of April. That's the next
dropping. Can I come back on that a little bit?
Yeah.
Can I come back on that a little bit? Because we had a very recent experience and you just reminded me. iOS 26.4 now requires age verification.
Oh, yeah.
It does indeed, yeah.
Blind people can't do it sometimes because they haven't got a driving license. Apple don't accept passports, right, as a means to proving your age. They don't accept debit cards. They only accept credit cards.
Credit cards, yeah.
So, Steve, I'm sorry, but one or two blind people have got caught by updating iOS and then suddenly finding that they can't verify their age, which means that they can't get on Netflix for adult films or anything like that, and they can't do all kinds of things like that. So I'm not quite in agreement with Steve there. I think you should wait and find out what other people say about updates because some of them bugger it up, basically.
I think iOS different to what Steve's saying, though.
I know what he's saying, but he said you need, and I don't agree with that. You can always wait a week or two and see how the update goes.
I hang out in various Reddit groups. One of them in Motorola, everyone is always telling each other, wait, don't do it, don't do it. Yeah. Wait a month.
but there are a few blind people now that haven't been able to do the age verification thing because they haven't got the right, I've got a credit card on my account so I can do it, but not all blind people have got credit cards.
No.
Not everyone's got a passport.
Mm-hmm. Again, this is not just for unsighted
blind people.
A lot of people having this issue. I had a customer today There's just some people that aren't that technical, just don't know what to do.
Yeah. I think because Google, you have to do it on a website. Apple, yeah, it's baked into the operating system, so it's more
tricky. It won't let you access certain features if you don't get it sorted.
Dreadful. Anthony Daniels is next on EU cell size limits. We were talking about the fact that Motorola seemed to get away 1 week by breaking the limit and the next week by not breaking the limit. He says, actually, the EU size limit relates to per cell. So these new monster capacities we're seeing, I think it's because the silicon carbon batteries are multi-cell. They split them up inside to get round the EU rules. I honestly think that large capacity fast charge batteries are the way to go. However, I can't be faffing about keeping strap-on batteries charged to them to stick on the back of a phone to charge it slowly. Not sure environmentally it's a good idea either to have all these strap-ons. It's all about strap-ons here. Surely they just demonstrate that the main battery charging system is inadequate. Yeah.
Yeah, I did say strap-ons. Oh, I say.
That all kinds of things.
And he goes on to ask us if we would consider adding a new section to PSC, the podcast, which is an AI section for future shows explaining what you find useful in AI. Maybe I'm missing something, but I don't want it on my photos and videos. Thank you very much. Steve does, but you don't. On a Google search, I still need to dig into the AI result and look at the resources, and sometimes you'll get the opposite result to the same question with a minor change in wording. Maybe I'm missing something here and need the full Gemini Copilot and pay companies for the better versions. My neighbour used one of these to compose a well-written letter to another neighbour about an overgrown tree, but a quick Google of the issue showed that the letter that was produced by the AI was completely wrong and not legally binding and all the rest of it. So he reckons that on the back of that, we should have an AI section on the show. What do you reckon, Joe?
Yeah, so just quickly, AI is quite dangerous for some people because you do sometimes need to check its sources and double-check it. But, yeah, we could certainly start covering AI in phones in particular more in the future, I think.
Again, though, AI, you know, gets it right a lot of the time for us. And
Yeah, definitely.
I find it difficult to deal with AI haters who go, AI get it wrong, but also AI gets it right.
Definitely. Yeah.
So if AI tells me that I'm approaching a brick wall, and I am approaching a brick wall, then I'm happy. You know, that's this is the beginning of AI, pretty much, and this is the worst it's going to be, right? Yeah, yeah. If you think about it, in 5 years' time, I reckon it will be so much better. And you know, I'm just at the moment I'm loving it because it kind of gives me artificial sight, and at least we've covered AI a good deal on this show.
Exactly. And I think that's the point to send back to Anthony, really. Great suggestion, but I think we do it anyway. I'm not sure that we need a separate section for it. I think it comes up all the time. And I agree with you, Steve. It's not perfect. Sometimes I teach Gemini something. I point out to Gemini that, no, you've got that wrong, lad. You know,
and it's quite funny response.
I
do that all the time, Ted. I'm sorry.
But the point I'm making is that even though I see that happening and I know that happens, I still press on because, like you're inferring, Steve, 98% of the time it's not like that, and you know it's really, really good. Yeah. And that percentage will grow, as you say.
I think it's such a useful tool that needs to be utilised by more people.
Real life story, Joe, this is absolute truth. When we first got image descriptions in TalkBack, my niece sent me a picture of my mum, who's no longer with us. And it described my mum in really good detail. And I checked with Charlotte and she said it was really good detail. And I literally cried.
Of course, yeah.
Because I never had a visual description of my mum so good, you know. So that's the other side of AI, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was a good photo. There was nothing for it to get wrong. It told me what colours she was wearing, all kinds of stuff, you know. And, you know, it just blew me away, to be honest.
Good stuff, good stuff. Yeah. I'm a fan as well. Yeah. Before we go, let's just have a look at the classifieds. I found something on there which was mine. So I'm going to plug it on the show. It's my Nothing Phone 3, which is not the Nothing Phone I'm talking about sending you, Steve. It's another Nothing Phone.
Okay.
So my Nothing Phone 3, I'm not using it. It's in perfect condition. It's the black one, 256 gigabytes, 12 gigabytes, box cases, perfect condition, 425 quid. It's still listed at 699 at Nothing. You can sometimes get it at 500 and something, but 425 I think is a bargain for someone. So Nothing Phone 3, lots of fun can be had with that. So that's what I found on there to pick out. Did you pick something, Joe?
Yeah, I did, but just quickly, that is a good choice. I know, I'm not just saying it because it's yours. It's a fun phone to use. It's got some nice features. And for that price, it's decent, very decent specs.
Indeed.
So with someone else's money, it has to be that Lights phone by Xiaomi, in immaculate condition, only 3 weeks old, with 1 terabyte of storage and 16 gig of RAM, and posted up by Andrew Martin. It is £1,375, though, so I do repeat, with someone else's money, I would take that.
But to be fair, it is a decent price.
Because
to buy all that new, it's going to be, what is it, 1,800 quid or something. So
yeah,
Andrew's price is reasonable.
Anyway, actually 3 weeks old, literally.
Yeah, that's right.
It's going to be perfect, isn't it?
If you can live with Xiaomi's Hyper OS 3, then that is a good choice, I reckon. But yes, Nothing Phone 3 as well. Have some fun. Classifieds is where all that happens, one of our groups in MeWe. If you want to join that, it's a closed members-only group, so email me and we'll talk about that as we go. Thanks ever so much, Steve, for joining us today. It's been great to catch up with you, and we'll do it again real soon by the sounds of it.
You're very welcome, Ted, and thanks for having me on, and thanks, Joe, as well, because I haven't met you before live, as it were, so thank you as well. And thoroughly enjoyed it, and we'll have to get that pint, Joe.
Yeah, definitely. Steve, I've always enjoyed listening to you, so being on with you has been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Cool. Plugging for various other things now, the Nomad Tech Project, which has been missing in action for 2 weeks running now, Joe. What's going on?
Well, Sam had a holiday. We did plan to go yesterday, but he drove home, and I just said to him, look, mate, you've done a long drive. Let's leave it another week. So we will be back next week, though,
okay.
I promise.
So that's on YouTube on Sunday night. Link in the show notes to that. Nomad Tech Project with Sam and Joe. Phonesshowchat.uk is our website. Two S's in the middle there, don't forget. We hang out in MeWe all the time, as you know. If you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that. It's at paypal.me/TedSalmon. And if you want to buy Joe one, it's at paypal.me/Hickey85. And we'll put links to Steve and all he does in the show notes as well. So people can find him, and certainly Mark Surrey, if he wants to get hold of you regarding Wi-Fi issue. Yeah. But yes, I think, Joe, I have a suspicion that we might be back next week because we've still got plenty to talk about. So watch this space. If I can get that agreed with Joe, then we'll probably do another sneaky middle of the month show in the is it the middle of the month? No, it won't be, will it? But you know what I mean.
Beginning of April.
Yeah, exactly.
PSC Easter egg, if you like.
An Easter egg, yeah. So watch out for that next week. We may well be back. Otherwise, we'll be back in a fortnight. And our guest in a fortnight's time is, who's it? Oh, Ian Bundy. So Ian, photographer extraordinaire, part of the Camera Creations group as well, that we run another podcast with, and he takes some amazing photographs. So do make sure you join us for that one, which is in 2 weeks' time, if not next week. And that's about it. So thanks for listening, everyone, if you've got this far, and take care. We'll see you soon.